Here we go. I know we have a time frame here. Doesn't give us a lot of time. We'll try to do whatever we can. We're not going to give out a whole list of things and then only get to the first thing. Just going to go for it. So there are lots of great messages in Torah. I have the privilege of being able to teach. You know, definitely I'm a mechanechet to my children, to my students. I teach on a high school level, I teach on a college level. And I feel like it's a big bracha to be able to have an opportunity to give over very important messages. I have some of my students in the audience there also. And they know that you can't just teach Torah without teaching the messages that go along with all the stories that you're teaching. And there's lots of great messages in Torah. You know, when I teach Sefer Breishit, I always start with the introduction of the Netziv that calls Sefer Breishit Sefer HaYashar and talks about why it's called Sefer HaYashar. That's a different year, more than 30 minutes. And you know, how we learn about Yashrus from all the characters in Breishit. My students laugh at me that my mantra in my class is that Breishit is a pattern of human behavior. Everything we learn, we're not just learning for historical purposes, but we're learning because it has messages for and teaches us about human behavior. We're not just learning about it because it happened a long time ago and we want to know what happened, but we want to know how to grow from these experiences and how to be inspired by them. When we learn about the sin of Adam and Chava, we don't just talk about what happened then, we talk about what happened and how Chava got manipulated by the Nachash and how we can prevent ourselves from being manipulated and from causing ourselves to sin as well and do things that we know we're not supposed to do. We learned from Abraham the mission of the Jewish people, you know, all of his actions and what we're meant to do, not just what Abraham did, but what Abraham did as a message for what we're supposed to do as Jewish people. We learn great parenting ideas, both good ideas and not such good ideas from Sefer Breishit as well. A lot of these are in Sefer Breishit. Obviously, there are messages throughout the Torah. But one of my favorite messages in Parshat Toldot, for example, is obviously the story about the Yaakov and Esav and Yitzchak giving the bracha. Why did Yitzchak want to give the bracha? Again, what bracha? That's a different topic also. Why did Yitzchak want to give the bracha to Esav? And, you know, a lot of them first say, oh, well, he was blind. He didn't really know how bad Esav was, or he had his good points. And the Orach Chaim and Rambam ben Rambam say something very beautiful about parenting. He said, no, of course Yitzchak knew who Esav was. That's why he wanted to give him the bracha. You know, it's such a great parenting idea. Like, he knew that he was going off the derech, but he thought he would inspire him by giving him a bracha instead of just giving him, you know, negativity. By being positive and giving him this bracha, that could change his ways. So again, great parenting idea in Sefer Toldot. So lots of great ideas. What happens though when the stories are more sensitive and less and more difficult to teach over an important message? And we know, you know, I know as a parent, I'm very particular about what my children read. You know, if my children see a movie or watch something. And you go through the stories in Tanakh, and it's really, it wouldn't be rated G, probably not PG, possibly PG-13. And the question is, how do you give over these topics? What happens when the stories are much more sensitive? How do you teach the story of, you know, Lot's daughters after the destruction of Sodom and what they did? What about Yehuda and Tamar? What about Dinah and Shechem? What about Noah's sons? And I'll give another example that's not really in the pshat, just to give one last example before I introduce my husband. Lot and Sodom. I think this is such an important, you know, my students are here, and I know whenever I teach this, they say, oh, we never heard this story. You know, by the time they get to high school, you know, it's important to teach these stories. So I think it's important to teach them on some level in elementary school as well, which Yitzi will talk about more. But Lot and Sodom, if you see in Parak Yutes, so Lot is... Lot is greeting the Malachim. The Malachim, the two of the three Malachim that came to Avram, Parshas Vayira, then go to Sodom afterwards. And they come, and Lot's sitting by the entrance of Sodom because he's trying to do Hachnasat Orchim that he learned in Avraham's home. And he invites the Malachim into his home. And then there's really a very difficult story there, which I think a lot of students, you know, a lot of teachers skip over. And I think it's very important to discuss. And basically, he takes these malachim into his home, And then very, very soon, almost immediately, his house is surrounded by the people of Sodom. And Shesom Nasabu El Habayim Minar Ve'Adzakein Ve'Yikra'u El Lot, and they call out to Lot, Ve'yomru Lo, Ayeha Nashim Asher Ba'u Eilecha HaLayla Hotziyam Eileinu V'Neida Otam. Where are those people that, you know, you brought into your home last night? Bring them out so we can get to know them. Now, this story, getting to know them, obviously there's a sexual piece. They want to rape them. Rashi points out that there's homosexuality in here also. It's Mishchat Zachar. It actually gets worse. Lot goes out and he closes the door behind him. This door, I think, is very interesting in this story. The door is mentioned a few times in this story. So Lot's response is bizarre and very difficult. And Lot comes out and he says, and he closes the door behind him and he says, listen, he says, you know, please don't hurt my guests. Leave them alone. I have two daughters who've never been with men, two virgin daughters. Let me give them to you and you could, you know, have fun with them. Just don't hurt my guests. So again, this is a complicated story. How do you teach this? I think it's important to teach something like this. Again, it has all these, you know, terrible things that you wouldn't want your kids reading about, you know, in a different book. But yet, I think there's a very important message here. And there's a message about values and priorities and how, you know, a couple in Perek Yud Gimel, we saw Lot made a choice. It says, Vayivchar lo Lot et Kikar Yardin. He knew that the people of Sodom had said, Anshei Sodom anashim chataim me'od, right? Lashem me'od. And they were terrible people, and yet he chose to go to Sodom because it was aesthetically beautiful, because he can have a physically, you know, a great physical surroundings, great house, great yard, but yet the people are bad, you know, but he's hoping that maybe he can retain the values of Avraham and not be affected by the people around him. And yet he is. And the fact that he's willing to give up his daughters, clearly he doesn't even think that's a problem, because he's in a place which is morally decrepit and sexually perverse, and he doesn't even realize that that's a problem. And here you have a great message where somebody is making a decision that he thinks it's not going to affect him so much. He's still trying to retain the values of Avraham. I mean, the Ramban says he's like Mamasha Russia for doing this. I actually, you know, feel a little sorry for him. He's trying, but he's certainly doing a terrible thing here. But it's a teaching moment, you know, certainly for a teacher to give over this message about values and about morality and about, you know, a cautionary tale almost. So as a teacher, I struggle with what to give over to my students. And I think it's very important that we're in partnership with parents. And I'm not here today to tell you how, I believe as a teacher that parents should be discussing these things with their children. And of course, my husband will now talk more about that. And, you know, these sensitive topics. And then as a teacher, I can then give over what I need to give over, knowing that the parents have educated their children about these sensitive topics already. And then it gives me an opportunity to give over these stories and teach the values that are meant to be taught without worrying that, am I telling them something that they don't know? Am I telling them something that the parents don't want me to tell them? And I think that's very important. So I'm not here today to tell you how to discuss these things with your children, because frankly, I really don't know. And thank God I have my husband to ask that too. I'm actually in good company, because about two months ago, my husband gave a lecture in Muncie about how to talk to your children about sensitive topics. And Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky came in person to give his, you know, haskama, I guess, in person. He wanted to show his support. And he basically got up and he said, you know, huge talmud chacham. And he got up and he said, you know, if you think that I'm here to tell you how to talk to your children about these things, I'm not, because I really don't know. And that's why I asked the experts like Dr. Schechter. But I am here to tell you how important it is, that it's part of chinuch habanim, it's part of communication with your children, and that's why I'm here today. So I figured I would end with that piece. You know, I'm in good company. That this is not my expertise. When you know, it was time for me to have those the conversations with my children. I do the girls, my husband does the boys. I got advice from him, so I'm going to introduce now my husband Yitzchak Schechter to take it from there. Thank you.
Okay, so it is interesting to do this sort of talk with your wife. I think it's good, because in real life it happens that way also. we should be working. The first most important thing is to actually be on the same page, to be on the same page, the same goal communications with your spouse. So I think that's a good thing to do. Now, we recently celebrated Bar Mitzvah of our son. Very recently, it's a wonderful experience. For those of you who have, you know what I mean. If those that haven't, you should enjoy it. But there's a couple of very important points that came out that we're reflecting on when that happens. It's very, very clear in Halacha that the definition of becoming a gadol, becoming an adult, is tied into physical development, physical maturation and development, and specifically around development to become sexually mature, age 13 in a boy and age 12 in a girl. And it's an important part of the transition to of godless, of becoming an adult, a responsible person, and the responsibility that goes with it. So that's one important thing, that really development is tied into maturity, is maturity, but it's tied into this whole notion of sexuality as well. Also, I had the pleasure of learning with my son. We finished close to two-thirds of Shas Mishnayos, and it's really, it's very great, and I recommend learning Mishnayos with children, or Gemara, learning Mishnayos in particular. And one of the things that happened, and you know, we said the Torah is something that we want our children to always be involved in, to be always be involved with in learning, but yet at the same time, Torah is not a children's book. We want them to be learning it, we want them to be thinking about it, but it's not really just for children. And it's not, and there's a lot of complex material. So one time I was learning with my son, probably in the kitchen, in the living room, and my wife was hearing the conversation in the background. And we were going through just different mishnayos as we always do. I don't remember what it was exactly. Maybe it was talking about if somebody has sexual intercourse with an animal and what happens to the animal in such a case. Or maybe it was about some other situation of sexual deviancy or adultery or something like that. So, and I'm learning with my son, you know, as we do all the Mishnayos. And then my wife calls me and says, can I talk to you for a second? And then she calls me and says, what? What are you doing? You're taking my pure, fine, tzmimistic son. And what are you talking about? What are you discussing? What are these topics you're talking about? But that is the nature of discussing topics in Torah with children. There are a lot of topics, be it in Chumash, as my wife mentioned, be it in Mishnah, be it in Gemara, and in Halacha in general. Everything is under the rubric of study in Torah. And therefore, what's really critically important is to be able to offer our children a frame of how to understand it, how to relate to it. And what's really important is that these are all teachable moments. Use the learning that you have with your child. Be it Gemara, Mishnah, Parsha, Halacha questions. These are all teachable moments, and it's really important specifically to talk about uncomfortable topics, because we want to make sure we're giving a message that we can discuss anything, both in terms of its value in Torah, that Torah can cover and discuss any topic, and that's okay. But even more importantly, that you're giving them a box to be able to understand all the various topics and difficulties that they're going to encounter, even if they're very, very sensitive. So I actually have a much longer talk that I do. It's not a much longer talk. We're probably going to be doing it in T-Mex soon. About speaking to children about sexuality. But there's certain core competencies in having these conversations with children. So the first is, like I said, you want to be able to give your children a box, a cognitive box that structures the conversation, that says it's okay to talk about these things, and it's important to talk about these things, and we can discuss it. Now, that's one piece of it. But then, what's very, very important is that topics, sensitive topics such as sexuality and all of its various permutations, be in context of purpose. That sexuality is purposeful, life in general is purposeful, and really that is the idea of Kiddusha, holiness. And it's important to transmit when we talk about these topics, and I'm speaking as a psychologist, it's important to transmit our values in these conversations, because it goes without saying that children are exposed to every matter of sexuality in their developmental course. And I think it's also, it's a difficult thing to say, we're actually doing a study on this shortly, but we have to assume that it's not if a child is exposed to inappropriate material or pornographic material, but when. It is almost a certainty that every child, I'm qualifying it a little bit, almost every child will be exposed to inappropriate sexual material, be it minor or be it much more serious. And therefore, speaking to our children and giving them the frame is that much more important. And for as much as we can filter and protect, we can't ultimately bubble wrap our children so much that they will be fully, fully protected from that. So therefore, as they're developing their image and their concept of sexuality, which ties into sexuality as a very important part of development, but also as it ties into their whole identity, it's really important that we as parents, in partnership with mechanchim, with educators, give a frame to this area and this topic. It's really critical for us to do that, because if we don't do it, it's going to happen anyway, but with a very different frame. But when we're doing this, we're giving that box, we should be giving it, it's a very important moment, teachable moment, that what we should be doing is giving, teaching according to our values, giving our a transmission of values. Again, that sexuality is purposeful, and it's part of a greater purpose, and it's part of a goal. Right. And then also, it's also obviously important to have these conversations in an age-appropriate fashion, not teaching a child everything that you think they need to know. You know, when they first ask you the question, Mommy, where do babies come from? As a 3, 4, 5-year-old, that's not what they're asking. They just want you to give them a little bit of a box or frame to it. It's important, of course, that it be age-appropriate. Also, you know, these learning opportunities throughout the lifespan, throughout the development. I'll give a small example, Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, the Chamisha Inuyim, there are 5 things that are prohibited as a way of suffering, or Inuyim. So, of course, every child learns it. Eating, 1, drinking, 2, and so on. No, eating and drinking are 1. The reason they're teaching that is because they're skipping number 5, Tashmish Hamita. They're not, in kindergarten or whenever it might be, you're not getting and you can't have sexual relations with your spouse. So therefore, eating and drinking have evolved into two out of the five, when really they're just one out of the five, and not having sexual contact is the fifth. So, but it's very important, and as kids, so when kids are older, they learn, right, you can't sleep together. Sleep together, you know, as a married couple, perhaps. Or they don't learn it at all. But it's important, even at that point, to be able to use that as, again, a teachable moment to discuss that, yes, that husband, they all know that mommy and daddy, hopefully, share a bedroom and share a bed. So there's no new material that you're introducing to that, but you are teaching an idea that, you know, that parents sleep together, and that on Yom Kippur you can't sleep together because it's a nice thing, it's a pleasurable thing. You're not going into all the details. Again, this is for the developmentally, for the younger side of things, obviously. But you're explaining the idea of intimacy, not just about frank sexuality, and you're giving this concept and a frame that can later be filled in as they mature over time. Taking the example of, as my wife mentioned, Dina, she was basically, it's very clear, was sexually abused. She was molested by Shem, and so that's an important topic, because hopefully there are other conversations going on talking about that. And to tell them that in this week's Parsha, you know, it was very sad, but that Dina, this person came and touched her inappropriately, did all sorts of inappropriate, bad things, and that's an example. And so again, you're using the Parsha as a springboard, but this is also true in many other areas. Right. Now, as we talk about, and this also, this also goes not just, ironically, this is not just for Torah, but also if you think about it like this. The news, you're listening to the news, and you're hearing, let's say, New York State passed, you know, marriage equality, homosexual marriage, gay marriage. So you're driving in the car, you're listening to CBS or whatever you listen to, and they repeat the same story about 20, 30 times an hour. So you can't listen to CBS. But your kids are sitting in the back seat listening, and they say, oh, what is that? But you can, because it's really important to talk to them about it. And then again, transmit it according to your values. And it's important to get it from you, otherwise you're going to be getting it from other places. Now, and this is also true about movies and media. And if your children are seeing movies, first of all, you should be discussing the movies with them. You should be, and again, this range, through the range of ages, at 17, 18, they're much less interested in you being involved in these conversations. You have to have these conversations earlier. But if you watch a movie with them, and if there are inappropriate scenes, inevitably there will be, discuss that with them, process it with them, give them an ability to understand and have a box. You don't have to go through every detail, but you're giving them a frame. Now, together with this development idea, there's another point of responsibility. As you mature and you have new kochos and nefesh, you have new abilities. You're stronger. For boys, you're starting to have facial hair, etc. But there's also new capacities you have as a person. But together with that comes responsibility. If you have a responsibility with your new found superpowers to be able to be responsible and with it. And I think this is very, very important, both as a psychological structure, concept, but also this is the underlying idea of halacha, that we want to give people the ability of to have a sense of responsibility and sense of ownership of themselves, and also, and this is the other core competency, is to discuss the idea of struggle with them. That's, and what, it's obviously, it's going to be different for boys and girls. Obviously, for boys, it's going to be one manifestation. But of course, it also manifests in girls also. Very often, sexuality gets, the discussion of sexuality gets hijacked by focus on boys. But girls also are thinking about this. And you know, when you're walking in the mall, but you're walking in a mall and you see, you know, the stores that they're walking, and maybe even going into some of those stores, what message am I sending to my daughter about what the image that she should be having about herself and her own developing ideas of sexuality? It's very popular in clothing stores. Abercrombie and Fitch, right? It's a very popular store, good sales, whatever it is, but at the same time, they're marketing not just their clothes, they're marketing attitude and value about sexuality. And I think we're confronted with this, and we have to address this. This is true of boys, this is true of girls, and again, those are teaching opportunities. We also have to teach responsibility, but also the idea of that there's a struggle with that. That there's a struggle that goes with it. Sometimes it is hard to fulfill my goals. Let's say talking about, and this is a challenging topic, the issue of Shmiras HaBris, or Hotzah Zeh HaVatala, or in English, masturbation. This is an issue that there are Torah values associated with it, but yet at the same time, there's Torah values, but there's also, as the Gemara beautifully says, the Reb Shimon ben Pazi, I mean, this is a very long discussion, but Reb Shimon ben Pazi says that a human being fundamentally is caught in a bind, a struggle of oily me yotzri, woe is to me for my creator, oily me yitzri, woe is to me for my urges and my desires and my natural arising interests. And there's a tension there, and we have to appreciate that tension. And that is part of our religious development, is to appreciate struggle and tension. And that's a very, very important message. This is the idea of halacha. You know, I have certain urges, certain desires, again, sexual or otherwise, but I put a limit onto what I am doing because I have a greater goal, I have a greater purpose in what I'm doing. And I'm trying to reach aspirationally to that point. This is also a very important, the famous marshmallow test. And this has a lot to do with, again, halacha and struggle. That basically, this goes back to old study in 1960s in Columbia. Basically, back then, marshmallows were a little bit less pervasive in everything you eat, cereals and cookies and whatever. But they gave a marshmallow to a child, and they said, okay, you can eat this marshmallow. I'm going to be walking out the room. But if you don't eat this marshmallow, I'll give you two or more later on. It's up to you. And then the researcher walks out the room. So the kids, who assumedly like marshmallows, the kids that were able to defer the instant gratification of eating marshmallow right now, and were able to sit in a room with a marshmallow that they're not eating, ended up with, or is related to, higher IQs, higher life achievements, higher salaries, and a whole bunch of other things. But this is idea of that by not just living based on the impulse but being able to have a goal in mind and go beyond and not give into something, that's a very healthy attitude. In fact, this is the very basic idea of adolescence. Without going into all the neuroscience of it, the brain develops from age 0 until age 20. It keeps developing. But the last place of the brain to develop is right here, the prefrontal cortex. Why? I mean, not why, but what is that? The prefrontal cortex is all about executive functioning, meaning planning, inhibition, and deferment of pleasure. So those are the things that sometimes adolescents are the worst at. That's the last part that develops at around age 20. Interesting, in halakha, a person isn't responsible for punishment b'di shamayim until they come to age 20. They don't need an MRI scan to know that. But that's the last part of development. But that's the task of development and of sexual development. And the other very important point is, it's okay to have struggles. It's okay for things to be difficult, and it's okay to have failure. Again, defined however it's going to be defined. But rather as Sheva Yipol Tzadik become, that there's a fall and there's a, you get back up. And that's very, very incredibly important to teach our children. And this is part of what we do as parents. And it's very important. We can't just expect educators and the people in school to be able to take care of it. It's actually our obligation as parents as well, in concert with schools. And hopefully the schools share our values in these discussions as well. Right, so these are basic, some of the basic tidbits of I wanted to mention. It's hard to do it in a very quick fashion, but again, some of the core skills, the most important is to use teachable moments, and there are very many of them in Parsha, in Halacha, as it comes up. Give your children a box to be able to understand not every detail, but the overall frame. Transmit your values. Let it be part of a conversation of your values. Teach them responsibility, and also the notion of struggle, and that it's okay to struggle and to fail as long as you're always getting up and going forward. And okay, if you have any questions, we can talk about it afterwards. Okay.